Happy trails to you until we meet again.
Hello, good friend and neighbor. This is Phil Nee saying happy trails until we talk again later here on the radio with some community conversation coming up next hour following the ABC News on WRCO-FM in Richland Center, Wisconsin. It's 50 degrees at 9 o'clock. Time now for a news update sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, serving Southwest Wisconsin since 1889, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The head of the International Monetary Fund is urging countries to swiftly resolve trade disputes because they are threatening global economic growth. 2 days ago, the IMF downgraded the outlook for world economic growth this year. That announcement coming as the Trump administration appears to shift its tone on one sector.
In another sign that the White House may be backing off of these tariffs, sources tell us that the administration is now considering possible exemptions for some tariffs on Chinese auto parts, but the White House says that no final decision has been made.
ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce. Applications for unemployment benefits went up last week, but only slightly. Meta, Starbucks, Southwest Airlines, CNN, among those laying off workers in the month of March. A 19-year-old has been charged with aggravated arson for allegedly setting the bonfire and leaving the area without properly extinguishing it, causing the more than 10,000-acre Jones Road fire in Ocean County, New Jersey. This is ABC News. An argument erupting at a town hall held by Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, who blamed the mistaken deportation of a Maryland man, Kilmer Abrego Garcia, on President Biden, not on President Trump's policies.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that's what's been brought up about Garcia, and she brought up about just many, many other people, that this wouldn't even be an issue if Biden had enforced the law. Oh,
similar town halls have erupted like that across the country. China has launched three astronauts into space to replace the crew on the Chinese space station. China is hoping to have a crewed mission to the moon soon and eventually have a crewed mission to Mars as well. China's space station, entirely Chinese built since it was excluded over construction of the International Space Station. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The old saying goes, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Sure applies to the Phoenix Center. The Bowling Alley has been the go-to for good times and great food for generations in Richland County. It's where good friends become better friends and good times become awesome memories. From a delicious pizza to bowling to a conversation over your favorite drink, the Phoenix Center in Richland Center is the right choice every time. The Phoenix Center. Call 649-7469.
We can't change the circumstances or magically erase the pain of loss, but we can listen and serve you with compassion and understanding at a time when compassion and understanding go a long way. I'm Darren Klingeman of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Our promise to you is to be patient, considerate, and professional, serving you as you wish to be served. It's been our priority since 1889 at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Your WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is brought to you by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765 and find out how you can buy a house without needing 20% down.
A few peaks of sunshine could develop by afternoon and still fairly mild today, a high of 68. Northeast to east winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy tonight, a 70% chance of rain, mainly after midnight, a low of 47. Friday, rain tapering off by midday, mostly cloudy, breezy, and cooler, a high of 56. Northeast winds turning northerly at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Clearing and chilly Friday night, a low of 36, and pleasant with mainly sunny skies Saturday, and a high of 63.
We can't change the circumstances or magically erase the pain of loss, but we can listen and serve you with compassion and understanding at a time when compassion and understanding go a long way. I'm Darren Klingman of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Our promise to you is to be patient, considerate, and professional, serving you as you wish to be served. It's our priority since 1889 at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
If you run a small business these days, you know just how challenging things can get. But you're a natural-born problem solver, so it's all good. Still, it doesn't hurt to have some good neighborly help. Like yourself, State Farm agents are also small business owners. This enables them to help you choose the right insurance coverage to fit your small business needs. So why not insure with a small business with fellow small business owner, who also happens to be a good neighbor? Call, text, or stop by Julie Karen State Farm in downtown Richland Center. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Crawford County is proud to host the 78th Ellis and Dairyland Finals, May 15th through the 17th. Experience a weekend celebrating our state's rich agricultural heritage. Friday night is a Wisconsin product showcase in Gay's Mills. The excitement culminates Saturday with a dinner at the historic Dousman House, followed by the selection of the 78th Ellis and Dairyland at the Prairie du Chien Performing Area Arts Center. Learn more and get your tickets now at AliceandDairyland.com. Celebrate Wisconsin agriculture with us in Crawford County.
Jelinek Plumbing and Heating. It's good to know someone you can trust when your home gives you a headache. Featuring 24-hour emergency service for plumbing, heating, and cooling. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating has been a trusted name when it comes to helping you solve any plumbing, heating, or cooling needs. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, offering 24/7 service, reasonable rates, and we guarantee the job will be done right. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, 649-7916.
WRCO Studios, proudly sponsored by the Richland Family Restaurant. Fill up with something delicious.
Welcome to the morning show on WRCO Radio. We are here to talk about all the great things going on at Highland. In the studio today, we have senior advisor Melissa Straka, and then Kate Terrell, a senior at Highland, is joined as well by Bennett Smith and John Dreschmeyer from Highland Schools. Three seniors and their advisor. Good to have you on representing here today. Melissa, does it seem like the school year has gone by quickly?
The school year has gone by super fast, yes.
So looking at this group, you brought in three pretty deserving people. Was it a hard choice?
It was not a hard choice. These three students have done some amazing things this year through their senior project, and we're excited to share that with you.
So tell me about the senior project at Highland. I think it's kind of unique, isn't it?
It is. It's something that we started about 12 years ago. We had seen another school, West Salem, that did something similar, and so we wanted to adapt it when we became a charter school. We took their ideas, and we kind of tweaked it to fit what we wanted for our students. One of the coolest things about this project is that the students get to pick what they want to learn about, which is something unique to school. Like, most of the time, students don't get that opportunity to choose their learning. And so they get to pick their project, and then they have to find a professional who is an expert in their project topic and work with them as a mentor. And then after that, their project has to somehow give back to the community, which I think is the most incredible part.
I know there are programs, you know, like youth apprenticeships and things like that. This is a little different, isn't it?
Yeah, this is different. This is actually a class that they take through school. We meet every day, and they each have an advisor. So there's three of us who are advisors this year, and they work closely with their advisor every day throughout the year in the classroom. But a lot of the project hours take place outside of the school day.
Okay. Yeah. So, do you have to work hard to try to find that cooperation from the community and the business public?
Absolutely not. We have been so fortunate. The community has been amazing, welcoming. Like, I don't think we have too much trouble finding mentors. Everybody is so willing to be helpful and to share their knowledge with the students and to provide opportunities for them to, you know, explore new opportunities, like to explore ideas and job potentials and career potentials. And I think that's one of the best things. But we really have had amazing support from the community.
Has there been one that's been really unique that you can think of over the past few years?
That's a tough question. We've had so many amazing projects. One that sticks out in my mind, a few years ago, we had a student who did like a cheek swab for bone marrow, and we actually had a community member who was a match and was able to help save someone's life through that senior project. So that was pretty amazing.
Yeah. Talk about giving back to the community.
Exactly.
Right there.
Yeah.
I know you had a young woman come over here, and she was a part of our radio station for a little bit. That was unique a couple of years ago as well.
Yeah, we've had a lot of amazing things. I mean, from kids learning self-defense and teaching self-defense classes to other students, to just running blood drives, or like, I don't know, it's the list goes on and on. We've had so many amazing things happening.
Do you wish that you would have had something like this when you were in school?
Oh, absolutely. I think it gives kids an opportunity to explore things that maybe they are interested in, and maybe they find out they love it, and maybe they find out they don't. You know, and then, but at least they have that opportunity before they go out into the real world.
It's coming down to the wire then. So are the projects nearly completed?
Yeah, we are wrapping up. The projects are mostly complete and the students are preparing. At the end of their project, they have to present to a panel of teachers and like to share all of the amazing things that they did throughout the year. It's probably the most nerve-wracking day for the students. They're very nervous about presenting their projects, but I think that it kind of, again, gives them an opportunity to stand up and to really share all the amazing things that they're doing.
You have an event at the end of the year as well to honor those that co-opt with the students, don't you?
Correct. That is coming up in a couple of weeks. We have our presentation day where we invite the parents and the mentors to come in, and we have a luncheon, and then the kids present their projects.
Oh, wow. So it's some exciting times, that's for sure. Kind of a way to say thank you then, too.
It is, yes. It's our way of saying thank you to everyone who helped and supported the seniors throughout the year.
Well, let's talk to some of the seniors here.
That would be great.
We have them lined up to microphones. Kate Terrell is here. Kate, good morning.
Good morning.
Great to have you in here today.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Well, tell me about your senior project.
So I have written and illustrated a children's book that promotes kindness, compassion, and empathy. I've been working with my mentor, Kristen Mitchell, out of Little Creek Press in Mineral Point, and she has been amazing, super helpful, and very supportive throughout this whole process. And so as a way of giving back to my community, I've read to the elementary students in Highland and shared my story and the lessons through it. And I have several school visits lined up to keep promoting kindness and everything, and I'm very excited about that. And I've also donated a copy to the my school district, and I will to the other school districts as well.
So you are a published author then?
I am, yes, officially now. I just had my book launch yesterday. It was very exciting, yeah.
That's exciting. Why? You know, I don't know if I've talked to any high school students that have accomplished that already. So, so that's good. Tell us about the book and what it's about then.
The inspiration behind it, my grandma turned towards literature during a part in her life where it was just a lot of grieving, and it was just a way of coping with her emotions. She turned to literature, and so I wanted to create my own story about my life and just help readers know that they're not alone and that everyone's incredible. And it's called Incredible Friends, so I want to say that everyone's incredible and that they just should always be kind and compassionate and just look to others for support and be that support for someone.
Who did the illustration for you then?
So I did, actually.
You did?
Yeah,
wow.
I started earlier this summer, and throughout all these months, I finally completed it, and I used my iPad, so it was definitely a learning curve there compared to paper and, you know, pencils and everything. So it was super cool taking that route, and yeah, it's been really great.
I've heard of Little Creek Press in Mineral Point because we have an author coming up here later this spring that's going to come and talk that has a book published there. But how did you get connected with them?
Well, you know, I have the help of, you know, Mistraka, our advisors, and Brad Van Apps, thought of Kristen as well. And so I've had so many great, like, support, like, people to kind of steer me in that direction. And I'm so thankful I had Kristen throughout this. And also like Shannon Booth, she helped edit the book, the storyline. She is also part of Little Creek Press. And I've just made so many great connections throughout that that place.
Are you autographing copies then?
So I did yesterday during the book launch. I had a fun little table, and it was really great. I read the story to everybody, and they got to pick up their books, and I was able to sign it, and it was really fun. It was a place in Potosi called Pages and Parcels, and they were so gracious enough to have me come and have my book launch there. So I was so thankful they were giving me that opportunity.
Is this the first of many books for you?
You know, I hope so. I hope I keep doing it. I would love to continue it during college. Right now I'm planning on majoring in marketing and sales, but minoring in entrepreneurship. And I could see myself going in that direction of like publishing and all of that stuff.
Or maybe in your spare time, right?
Yeah.
I wonder, because I know you're busy in so many other things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about time management. How did you find the time to put this all together?
You know, I loved drawing it. And just honestly, every part of writing and illustrating this book has been really enjoyable to me. So I never found it like a task or like a burden or anything, because I just really loved it. So, I mean, every time I was home or had any form of free time, I kind of turned to doing that. And it went really well. Yeah, I felt like I stayed organized and, you know, kept myself like busy and making deadlines, and it turned out great. Yeah.
Were you a three-sport athlete, or are you a three-sport athlete at Highland?
Yes.
You're playing
mm-hmm.
softball this spring, too?
Right now, yeah, I am playing softball.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, and sports is another avenue you've gone, and have you learned a lot from sports that you can learn and maybe use in everyday life?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's, like, I mean, first, communication and teamwork and being dependable and rely on others and just so many relationships and connections that has definitely helped me through all of this. You can learn a lot through sports.
Your dad being your coach, too. So do you think he has a book in him? Can he write a book maybe someday or not?
He likes to say that he has one in the process. yeah, I'm sure he would try.
That's awesome. Well, we'll come back to you, Kate. Okay. Thanks for joining us. Bennett Smith is here as well. Bennett, how are you doing these days?
Good, how are you?
Good to see you. Doing real well. Tell us about your senior project at Highland.
So my senior project is like raising awareness for cancer and like getting a bunch of donations together and giving them to cancer patients themselves. So I worked with the community to get a gracious amount of donations, and then I put like small bags together and I delivered them directly to the cancer patients. So, yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Where did you get the inspiration for that?
Well, my grandmother, Julie Keller, she had cancer multiple times and she survived it every time. And I knew nothing about cancer when I started, so I thought helping the community and giving back to the cancer patients would be nice.
That's interesting. You and Kate both inspired by your grandmas.
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
That's awesome. What was the community response like when you went out to look for donations and support?
It was amazing. They sent me like a bunch of Amazon boxes. I put it out like a wish list on Amazon, and they just sent the packages right to my doorstep. It filled up my table like three separate times. So I got... It was amazing.
And then you've already distributed the items to the
yes,
patients and everything?
The hospital in Dodgeville.
Okay. Yeah, that's amazing. When you look at your high school career at Highland, is this possibly a highlight for you?
Definitely, for sure. After delivering the bags, it made me feel great. So I loved it.
Hmm. What are some other things you're involved in at Highland?
Well, I'm a three-sport athlete as well, football, basketball, baseball. And I'm in like a couple of clubs around the school, like Sources of Strength, FBLA, and a couple things like that. So,
you were a part of the transition from 11-player football to 8-player football.
Yep.
How did that? I mean, it went well. You had some really good success, but was it a tough transition at first, Bennett?
Definitely at first, because as a quarterback throwing to the sidelines, I overthrew the sideline every single time. But it took a little bit to get used to, and the plays and the amount of people that were on the field and how close the DNs were to me. It was definitely a weird transition, but once you got going, it definitely felt like regular football. So,
and it can be higher scoring too, can't
it? Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. So as a quarterback, you see the receiver and you see nothing but green behind him. Mm-hmm. It probably makes your eyes kind of wide, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot more like man coverage rather than deep zone, so it was a lot easier to score and score a lot of points. So, yeah, it was fun.
What about going to Highland schools? What do you like most about your school or most proud of?
I like that our school is small and you know everybody. You can have a connection with everybody. And you also can get a lot closer with the teachers since there's not as many people in your class. So,
good answer. What about next year?
I'm going to Whitewater, so that'll be a big change. And I'm going to try to get my CPA and major in accounting.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
And John Deschmeyer is here. John, now let's talk about your senior project. What did you do this year?
So for my senior project, I took it upon myself to learn a little bit more about civil engineering. That was a avenue I thought I saw myself going in after high school. So I'm going down to UW-Platteville next year to start my career studying civil engineering. So for my project, I wanted to do something with bridges. I've always been fascinated by bridges and just thought it'd be something cool to do. So I built model bridges myself out of popsicle sticks. And I got a connection with a professor down at Platteville, Dr. Rogaby, who does civil engineering with an emphasis in structural. So he does a lot of stuff with bridges. And I remember in middle school, we did a bridge building unit in science where we built popsicle stick bridges in class. And then they have like a competition down at UW-Platteville where you can build balsa wood bridges. And I remember doing that too. So I kind of thought back to that and thought that that would be something cool to do for my actual project. And after I got in touch with Dr. Rogaby, we talked a little bit about my project goal and what I wanted to do. And he was a little hesitant about it at first, about like fully accepting the project. But I think one of the reasons he was skeptical is because he didn't realize like the commitment and scale of which our project was and how committed like all the students are to it. And he was very helpful with that. And he even invited me down to observe one of his classes where they tested their own popsicle stick bridges. So I got to go down there and watch them test popsicle stick bridges, and took it upon myself. I made three of them to kind of model mine off of like what they did and took some inspiration from them. So that was really cool. And he helped me through the whole process of designing them. We talked about it, how long they should be, like different dimensions of stuff. So I drew all of them up on my sister's iPad and sent them to him, and he told me they were good to go. So then I started building them and built them. And then after I built them, I talked to him about talking to the middle school students because they were just starting their unit on building bridges like we did in middle school. So they have the same thing now. So I went and talked to them and gave them a little presentation about different types of bridges, the different types I built, and then have been helping them for a couple weeks now build theirs. They did popsicle stick bridges the last 2 weeks, and this week they just started their balsa wood bridges for the competition.
Awesome. Do you have to eat a lot of popsicles? where do you get the material?
We bought it all at Walmart. I mean, the hardest part of getting it, I had 1,000 popsicle sticks. I used almost every single one of them. I mean, I was gluing popsicle sticks with holes in them because I drilled them wrong to the deck of my bridge at the end because I didn't want to have to go buy more sticks. But most of the connections between the popsicle sticks were with toothpicks. So I used a lot of toothpicks and drilled a lot of little holes in popsicle sticks and put the toothpicks through them. It was a pain, but it was worth it.
What do you do to test it then? Is there like a weight test in it?
They have a thing down at Platteville. I won't test mine.
Okay.
But they have a thing down at Platteville. It's a machine, and it has two bars that you slide into things, and it pushes straight down on them, and it gives back a bunch of readings about force and what amount of weight it broke at. So those things are pretty cool.
I thought maybe you had Barbie and Ken in a car and pushed them over the bridge to see if it holds it or not. So then you put it to good use. How did you bring it back to the community and use that as part of your senior project?
Yeah, I think the middle school, helping the middle school students was my community aspect of my projects. I mean, my whole goal behind it was to kind of get them interested in engineering in general. Because I know their teacher kind of talked a little bit about it, but to see a real-world aspect of engineering, I mean civil in this case, I think it really helped the kids be like, oh, this is an option. Like, I could go down this path. Like, this is somewhere that I could see myself doing. So I thought that was really, really good.
Have you gone out to some actual job sites where they were putting bridges together?
No, I haven't done that yet, but part of the project is we have to do a 4-hour job shadow. So I went down and job shadowed Bart Nyes and a couple other people at Delta 3 in Platteville. And they do more of the municipal, like, street work and that type of stuff in towns. So it was a little different than my project, but I thought that was really interesting when I went down there. He showed me a bunch of the plans they had, and I had to talk to a couple surveyors and look at one of the technicians that does CAD design, so, like, drawing up all the plans and stuff on the computer with the program. So that whole experience for me was really beneficial to just see the whole process. Because Mr. Nice, his whole thing was he wanted to take me through the whole process, like the start of the project to the end of the project. So that's why he had me work with the surveyors, the CAD design, another person that was working on the actual like road design, and then the final plans. And he talked to me about how he has to go to town meetings and get approval from the town to work on it and then get bids out to contractors. So that whole experience was really good.
What are some other things you're involved in at Highland Schools, John?
Yeah, like Bennett said, I'm also a three-sport athlete. I'm involved in FBLA and stuff like that. So,
and FBLA has competition too. Have you had a recent?
Yeah, they have a regional competition and a state competition. I got to go to both of them. And the state one, I was a part of a leadership group. So we got an experience there where we had to go in this room with a bunch of other people that we didn't know. So you got seated at a table. I think there was like six at each table. And our first task was we got a region of the state. The region I was put in was the south central part. So that kind of included like where I'm from in Highland. So it was like Iowa County, Dane County, and some of the surrounding ones. So we got that part of the state. And our whole thing was you got to build a business. And you had to sell your area of the state to the other people's businesses. And that was the first day. And then the second day, we actually got to create our business. So that was really fun.
Awesome. And then you mentioned next year going to Platteville. It's not a long trip from Highland, but still, you'll be going away to college.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I mean, I think my connection with Dr. Ogilvie will be nice to have someone down there that like I know at least a little bit, and he knows me. So I think that'll be nice and help the transition a little bit.
Sure. I think all three of you, you benefit from living in a small town, I think, Bennett, because it's a lot of times you've got those connections and it's who you know and they know somebody. And did you kind of notice that with your project?
Definitely. Without the support of my community, I would not have, my project would not have been as good as it was. So, and everybody in Highland is just so, connected that we always support each other no matter what's happening. So, the small community is great.
That's the benefit of living where you live, isn't it?
Definitely.
Right. And you guys are marking off on the calendar. Kate, how many days did you say you have of school left?
Right now, we have 22.
22, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And what are some things coming down the stretch? Senior trip? Where's that going to be?
I believe we're going to the Dells.
All right.
Yeah, and we will present our projects here pretty soon, and we have a trip that all the high school goes on just to go down to the park and just do some activities to celebrate the end of the year. So we have a lot of things coming up.
How many are in your graduating class this year?
I think right now we have 28.
28. Good number there. I presume it's a close-knit group. John, is that the case?
Yeah, I mean, most of us have been together, if not from 4K or kindergarten, but at least from middle school. I mean, we all know, pretty much everyone's mom and dad, siblings. I mean, we've grown a lot closer over this senior year. I think that happens with most senior classes, but we've really got to connect better throughout this senior year.
And what about spring sports then? You're looking at going to state, right?
Yeah, we had a little rough start to the year. We've lost a lot of close games in baseball. I mean, we've lost, I think, 3-1 run games now, and then we lost to Dodgeville in 10 innings. But yeah, we have the talent there, but we just got to put it together. It'll come at some point.
It will. And I don't think you've played on a day that it wasn't windy, have you, Bennett?
Yeah, maybe one day, but other than that, it's been like 40 degrees, windy, wet. Yeah.
Can't wait for some better weather. Maybe May will bring that.
Oh, 100%.
What about softball, Kate? How's it going for you?
Good. Yeah, we have a new head coach, Tim Kasharik. He's been really great, and the team's really working well together, and we're having fun.
You're supposed to have a game tonight?
We are, yes. Monticello, New Glarus.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully you can get it in.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, as far as the class here, Melissa, these are three great representatives. I'm just amazed at what they've been able to do.
Yeah, they are some pretty amazing projects, and we have so many other amazing projects, too. It was really difficult to choose which three to come and showcase today. We're really proud of this class and what it does. I was thinking about it as the three of them were talking, and the students get to take control of their learning, but I think the experiences that they gain throughout this class far surpass even just the work that they're doing. It's kind of fun to watch them grow as seniors and to learn skills that are going to benefit them as they go off to college or into the workforce or whatever their life may take them. Like, they're learning skills that they don't necessarily realize they're learning, which is kind of the best part of this class, I think. We talk a lot about that, and they're like, nah, we're not really learning that. I'm like, well, someday you'll come back and say, yes, Mr. Straka, we really did learn a lot in this class, even if we don't want to admit it right now. But just real world skills like time management and making connections in the community, you know, making connections in the professional workforce through their job shadows, through their projects. It's just sort of an amazing thing, and I feel very lucky that I get to be a part of it and get to encourage these kids to do some outstanding things.
They probably don't realize it, but I'm guessing you see the maturity grow through the year, don't you?
Oh, definitely. From the beginning of the year when they're super scared to contact a mentor because they don't know them, you know, to having a really awesome relationship at the end. You know, it's pretty amazing to watch not only the students grow, but those opportunities for them grow as well. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. I think that is one of the best things that we do in Highland.
Senior class project, is that a requirement for graduation?
It is a graduation requirement in Highland, yes.
And so everybody's got kind of a different idea, it sounds like, you know, and unique. I don't know if you've ever had authors before.
We haven't. I mean, we've had a lot of different students go into their careers. I mean, we've had photographers, we've had electricians, we've had, you know, sometimes kids find a path they don't even realize that they're, you know, looking at. You know, I've had one student who completely changed his career path just because of a job shadow that he did. But I think the most important thing is that kids get to choose their learning. And when you get to choose your learning, you're more invested in it.
You guys all came through the COVID year. I'm guessing, how old were you when school was shut down for COVID? That was 2020, Kate.
I don't know, seventh grade year. It was kind of between sixth and seventh grade.
That was a challenge. I mean, you kind of felt life change a little bit, I think, didn't you?
Yeah, it was definitely a change to going online and dealing with internet issues and just everything virtually. It was definitely a change.
Mm-hmm. Probably felt like you learned something from it, though, didn't you, Bennett?
Oh, definitely. It taught me how to not procrastinate as much because I had so many things around my house that I could have played with and done things with rather than school. But yeah, it was a weird experience.
Yeah. Moving forward, though, looking ahead, you know, as you graduate here in 2025, John, what do you think are some challenges that face you guys as you get out into school and eventually into the workforce?
Well, I just think some of the biggest things is just, like Bennett said, procrastination is a big issue with a lot of kids in our school. I know I struggle with it a lot, too, but just getting your work done and staying focused. I know my mom always says that she has people at work that struggle to show up, so I think being to work on time and just like little things like that, I think are something that even if you can just do it, like it's not hard to do to show up to work even, you know, 10, 15 minutes early. But I think that's just something that employers really appreciate. So I think that's one of the things is, yeah.
You're coming into, you know, a lot of exciting things with technology, too. And you as an author, Kate, too, the subject of AI is always around, you know. I mean, people could probably easily write a book, a children's book on AI. What is your feeling on that?
I'm sure AI would provide a lot of helpful information. But to me, it was just my book was very personal to my life story, so I didn't really feel the need to go to that, although I'm sure it provides a lot of helpful information. I'm happy to say that I wrote it on my own, and I'm glad that I did it that way because I could say it was all me. But I do know that it probably would provide a lot of information, but I like to know that I completed it on my own.
Yeah, wonderful. Well said. Well, I really appreciate you all coming in here today, and it's been great getting to know you. Good luck with your senior projects and down the stretch. And do you still sign yearbooks at Highland, Bennett? You guys have yearbooks?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Still do that? So you're signing your yearbooks and getting some of those year-end things done then?
Oh, definitely.
Good deal. Anything else you'd like to add here, Melissa?
Just thank you for taking the time to talk with us and learn more about our project. We're very proud of what we do in Highland, and it's really great that we got to share that with everybody.
Wonderful. Thanks for making the trip over here today.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Go Cardinals. Highland Cardinals. Melissa Straka, their advisor and senior project advisor, Kate Terrell, Bennett Smith, and John Dreschmeyer, members of the 2025 graduating class at Highland, joining us here on The Morning Show.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to give back to your community? Passages is looking for compassionate, motivated volunteers to join our team. We provide men, women, and children survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault with free, confidential services regardless of age, sex, or gender identity. We have a variety of volunteer opportunities available, from yard cleanup, donation sorting and organizing, and fundraising support, to shelter advocacy and survivor support. There are also a couple of larger outdoor projects that would be great for teams. Do you want to share a skill? We're also launching new life skills programming and are seeking volunteers to lead classes such as yoga, sewing, crocheting, cooking, meditation, grounding exercises, and more. Whether you're interested in direct client support or behind-the-scenes help, there's a place for you at Passages. Did you know that every hour you volunteer helps Passages meet its grant match? Learn more by visiting our website at passagesrc.com. and click on the I Want to Help tab. There you will find a list of opportunities and a volunteer application. Join us in making a difference, one life, one step at a time.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Sexsonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Feeling better is about feeling all kinds of things. You want to feel healthy, sure. But you also want to feel heard and understood, valued, even, well, loved. That's what we want, too. We're Amplify Health. And we think the best way to care for someone is to care about them. That's why all our treatments include a little empathy. Welcome to healthcare that's all about caring. Welcome to Amplify Health by Gunderson. A little empathy changes everything.
Does your employer offer 6 weeks of paid time off in the first year? Rockwell Automation does. They also offer a $2,500 sign-on bonus, a 401k with company match, annual bonuses for all employees, unlimited referral bonuses, paid paternal leave, a tuition reimbursement program, and plenty of room for growth and advancement. Rockwell Automation isn't your typical manufacturing experience. It's a great place to work because of the great people who work there. That's been true since 1971. Now, the team is growing, and Rockwell Automation is looking for new talent. First shift positions start at over $22 an hour, second shift over $24 an hour, and that's on top of all these incredible benefits. So what are you waiting for? Explore opportunities today at rockwellautomation.com/careers and search for Richland Center. Or just stop in during walk-in Wednesdays from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. for an on-the-spot interview. Rockwell Automation, where talent meets opportunity, where we meet you.
For those of us affected by the hailstorm recently, it can be a major pain. But Jones Chevrolet is here to help. We were affected just like lots of you were, so we're punching the accelerator to fix the damage caused to so many vehicles in southwest Wisconsin. Call or stop by today to schedule your repair. We've got extra crews lined up so we can repair hail dings, glass damage, and paint damage. We will work with your insurance directly to get the claim paid for you, too. Jones Chevrolet Buick, Richland Center, your Chevy truck headquarters for over 100 years. Chevy, find new roads.
contact D&T Well Service for well service and replacement. Mary and Derek McCormick, owners of D&T Well Service, are insured, and they do new installs and fix existing systems, submersible pumps, booster pumps, and jet pumps. Ask about the constant pressure system that gives you the best pressure and quality water out of your well. Contact D&T Well Service, 606-5596. No pressure, no water, no problem. Call D&T Well Service, 606-5596, serving Southwest Wisconsin. Check them out at dtpumpwell.com.
Hey there, I'm Jack.
And I'm Stag.
We're just two deer that want to make sure you know it's deer season at your authorized John Deere dealer. The deer season that saves bucks, you know, like us.
Yeah, you can get $3,000 off select John Deere machines now through June 2nd.
Saving bucks is easy. You just have to get in the seat. Conditions apply.
Visit Slama Equipment in Hillsboro, Mauston, or Reedsburg today. Or you can find them online at slamaequipment.com.
Marty Dresser joins us on WRCO. Impelled, a new play by Marty Bullock Dresser, premieres on stage in Spring Green this weekend at the Guard Theater. And good to have you in the studio, Marty. I'm curious when you find the time to put all these things together like this.
Well, that's a really good question. I have always written. I started writing poetry when I was 8 years old. And I first wrote it to get out of trouble because my teacher, I was apparently being kind of squirrely. And so I put together a book of poems that I just stole from Beatles lyrics and like greeting cards and stuff because I thought maybe that would get me out of trouble. And I don't think it did. But then later that year, I wrote an actual poem about inflation. So I've just been doing it, you know, my whole more than 50 years now. And even all those years working at the Richland campus, I always made time to write. And I got published here and there over the years. But the thing that was hardest for me was the follow through, work with other people, collaborate, let's get this thing on stage, let's get this thing published. But I was always writing because that just feels, I think that's when I feel most alive. It's when I feel like I know why I'm on the planet. So I've always done that. So now that I'm retired, I have time to pursue some of the other parts of it. So that's been one of the huge blessings of retirement, just a little bit more time, not just to do the writing, but to follow through. Follow through is always my hardest thing.
So some of the work in Impelled, is it like some older stuff that you've put together, kind of a compilation of some
it
of
it is. Compilation's kind of the right word, kind of not. So what I've been trying to do for a really long time is publish a collection of poetry. And that's about 45 to 60 pages of poems. And so let's see, it's been 6 or 7 years ago now. I thought, well, no, wouldn't it be interesting, because I also write plays, and I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if I could take some of these narrative poems that I have, because I think in characters even when I'm not writing plays, and what if I took three of these characters and put them together on a college campus, how would they interact? And it really was a nice combination. Like they had lots of good chemistry as characters. So I just put it together and started sending it off to various book editors, book contests, and got some good feedback. And then I talked to some people about, well, could, you know, would this work on stage? And again, got some good feedback. Another playwriting contest, Forward Theater in Madison has a Wisconsin Writes competition. Got some good feedback from them, but it's as if it wasn't quite working on either end, and I wanted it to work as both. So I would like this to be a play that works on stage, and then when or if it gets published, people could sit down and read it as a book of poems. So, it was challenging. It wasn't quite working. It was in my head. And River Valley Arts is an amazing organization. if you are in the River Valley School District, you're eligible for grants from River Valley Arts, and they have a great website. You can find out there are major grants, smaller grants. So I got what's called an artistic development grant. And so that was money to... allowed me to pay a poetry editor to give me really specific feedback. And it has allowed me to hire three actors and a director and rent the Guard Theater so that we, last fall, the actors and the director, we sat down around my dining room table and they did a reading and were able to tell me, and I could hear it more when they read it. Okay, here's where it's working. Here's where it's not working. And I will say at that point, I had kind of a crisis of confidence. You know, we just had the Minecraft movie came out.
Yes.
My son has been interested in Minecraft, you know, for years and years. When he first started playing, he dug a hole so deep in Minecraft he couldn't get out of it. And apparently that's a thing that happens really early on. And so I felt as though I had come up with this really clever idea for poems that work as a play and that I wasn't capable of following through. But I worked through that and revised it. And then we had another reading in January, again, around my dining room table. The three actors, Melinda Van Slyke and Douglas Swenson and Hannah Jo Anderson, and then my director, Terry Kerr. And they just sort of spontaneously burst into applause when we finished because we all could just feel it. Oh, okay, it works now. It actually works. So... then it's just a couple more rounds of revisions, just clearing up. I set the play in Southern Illinois because that's where I'm from, and it's kind of like a gothic part of my imagination. Most of my fiction and my plays are, you know, hovering around Southern Illinois. And there were some Southern Illinois jokes in there that just didn't work, you know. So you know, just cleaning up stuff like that. And then we're going to rehearse a couple times this week and then see how many people we can get in the audience to have a go at it on Sunday publicly.
So the plot is kind of like what you're thinking, right? It's like your inner thoughts. And
some of it, yeah. On one level, one of my actor, Douglas Swenson, was saying it's sort of like a carrot. On the top, you see the green leafy thing, and then the carrot is actually what's beneath. So on the surface, these are three characters, Lynette and Martin and Carrie, on a college campus. And the student has several problems. The administrator, Lynette, is trying to help her solve the problems. The professor, Martin, is kind of being helpful, kind of not being helpful. So on one level, it's just a workplace drama set on a college campus. And it's you just see them work through their problems, and Lynette and Martin are sort of clashing at the beginning, but they seem to be developing a friendship. So that's happening. And then one of the things that intrigues me about the human brain, and this is true of my brain, and it's not just my brain, that even when I'm in a conversation with someone that I'm interested in and I want to be there, there are about 10 to 15 other things going on in my head at the same time. Some of them are boring. Some of them is just my to-do list. Some of it is, you know, scandalous stuff. Some of it is questions, you know, asking God, why are things the way they are? And so in the play, there are things that are happening on the surface. And then in between when the characters are interacting, each of them takes time to express their inner monologues. And sometimes right in the middle of when they're interacting, they interrupt it to go have an interior monologue. So I think for people who have that experience, I'm just trying to embody that in the play.
Any experience, true life, that happened at the UW Richland when you were there as a faculty member?
Well, I will say it is not exactly autobiographical, but it was very much informed by being on a college campus. You know, when I first started there in 1992, I think there were something like 6 faculty members who were married to their spouses had originally been their students. And that was nothing scandalous at the time and nothing inappropriate. And those were long marriages. Clearly, those worked fine. But that's an interesting thing in higher education. Is it okay for a professor to date a student? It's gotten less and less okay since 1992. Yeah. Those particular people with those relationships, obviously, those were fine. So one of the characters is a student who's actually been having an affair with a married professor, which is a different thing entirely. That's one of her problems because it's been found out and the professor has said, you have to drop my class. It's past the drop deadline, so she's not sure what she's going to do. Her other problem is that she's been allowed as a student to just continue to take classes, and she's racked up 130 credits, but she doesn't have a degree yet. And so that would never have happened on the Richland campus. John Poole would have never let that happen, right? One of the wonderful things we did on the campus was we had faculty advisors. I would never have let a student take that many credits without getting a degree. It just wouldn't have happened. But it does happen in higher education. So this is just a student who's just kind of been bopping around. And so then we have an administrator who's trying to come in and set things right, and then the professor who really just kind of wants to go off and get ready for his classes and not be bothered with anything else, and that, you know, that feels familiar too. So
it seems to me there have been movies made that have that kind of that topic of, you know, you're actually thinking out loud, you know?
right and so yeah, what was it,
it was a cartoon.
There are cartoons, and then wasn't there a...
Jim Carrey had a movie,
Jim Carrey has one, and then...
Mel Gibson, too,
I think. Yeah, that was what I was going to say, Mel Gibson, and he gets in trouble,
yes.
Right? So in my play, people voice their interior monologues, but nobody else can hear it except for the audience. The audience can hear it. So it's just, it's out loud so you can figure out what they're saying, but it's not something the other characters hear.
Is friendship one of the overriding themes, Marnie?
Well, it really is. I think, you know, when you're a kid, friendship seems to come kind of naturally, right? Because you have classmates. If you go to church, you have people in your church, people in your neighborhood. But at least my experience was, as I've gotten older, friendships are harder to maintain, either because people move or we're all just too busy or, you know, you change, your friends change, maybe the friendship doesn't feel right anymore, and then how do you make new friends? Sometimes it just feels more impossible than it ever used to. So Lynette and Martin, this administrator and this professor, they haven't met before this particular day, and they clash at the very beginning, but then as the day goes on, they get to know each other a little bit better, and they've got some friendship chemistry. So they're actually developing a friendship. And that was one of the most things I really tried to focus on in the last revision that I did, was just emphasizing that friendship as we end the play, that they, part of the resolution of the play is that these two seem to be really becoming friends.
A new play by Marnie Bullock-Dresser. We're talking about Impelled. It premieres on stage in Spring Green Sunday. And I understand there are some adult themes, maybe a little bit of spicy language.
There are, right. I've been putting a warning on the poster, and I put a warning in the news release because, you know, our interior thoughts can go anywhere, or some people try to control their interior thoughts too, but for a lot of us, our interior thoughts just go everywhere. So one of them in particular, Martin has some scandalous thoughts that he's thinking, that he's expressing. It's probably R-rated. It's nothing so over the top, but I wanted to make sure people understood, you know, if people are my friends from my teaching, or, you know, if they follow me on Instagram, I just post things like that I'm Christmas ornaments that I'm sewing for my family or something. You know, so I wanted to make sure people understood there's a different side to me, just to make sure nobody showed up and was absolutely thrown. And then there is a fair bit of profanity. I was thinking about this just the other day. I grew up pretty Baptist, in a very Baptist family, well, some Methodists too, but my grandmommy wouldn't even let us say heck or darn, because those were just substitutes for swear words.
Sure.
And so I certainly wouldn't do it on the air, but I do use profanity in my personal life. And I think that's part of why, is that it just was taboo. So it just seems like the most amazing thing in the world to do. And so the characters have some profanity too. So I just wanted to make sure people weren't startled when they came in. So.
A number of jokes though. I mean, it's pretty funny.
And that is one of the things I am curious about, is if people laugh where I think they're going to laugh. But these are three characters. When they're interacting with each other, they're making jokes. When they are in their own thoughts, they're making jokes. So yeah, that was one of the things the actors talked to me about, that they really appreciated the humor in it, and and we're all curious where the laughs are going to come. So
yeah, you find that out sometimes in a play, where a place that you didn't even think of draws a laugh, and you're like, oh, I didn't get that.
But, right. You know? Right. So that'll be interesting. And each of these characters too is wrestling in different ways with religious belief and spiritual practice. And so those things come up as well. So there's a lot of different stuff going on.
Question and answer session, right?
Yeah. So it's a staged reading. I don't think there are going to be any props. There's going to be a little bit of movement, because we want to figure out how to indicate this is when the characters are interacting versus this is when they're in their interior monologue. So we're looking at what can we do with the lighting in a really minimal way? What can we do with movement in a really minimal way? But it is just the actors up there reading the script. And there will be somebody reading the stage directions, you know, so it is that kind of situation. And then you have a very brief pause. So if people need to leave, they can go ahead and leave. And then whoever sticks around, there's a question and answer time. And that's really valuable for me as a playwright, just to hear from the audience what's working, what's not working, you know, did they get lost, where did they get lost, just all those sorts of things. So it's really, really helpful.
And you're not the director, Terry Kerr is.
Terry Kerr is the director.
How does that work? I mean, you know, you just kind of turn it over to Terry then? And,
well, she's brilliant. I've had staged readings of plays several times, I think four different times. But she's the person who directed a time when I had plays that actually had a performance. So she used to work with the Taliesin School of Architecture. And part of Taliesin's philosophy is that education for an architect can't just be house plans and blueprints, that they needed to learn about the arts and they needed to learn about different things. So Terry taught theater to the architecture students. And she developed a thing, I don't know if she's the only person who's done this, but they would do storytelling to each other. And each student would pick a story that they wanted to do on stage, and then they would write it as a script. And the students would perform each other's stories on stage. It was nonfiction, but it's been made theatrical. So we did that, and it was called Perspectives. And then I wrote a play about a couple of sisters in a bar. And so we would do a scene from my play and then one of the student stories and then a scene from my play and one of the student stories. And so working with Terry in that, I just got to see there are things that a director thinks of, and particularly somebody like Terry, that I just would never, I don't have that in my wheelhouse. I don't have that list of things you need to think about and ask about and talk about. So that's been fun, working with her again and hearing her thoughts and hearing her perspective.
Hope a lot of people will come out 2 to 4 on Sunday at the Gard Theater. Great place to see that and see the show. Right?
It is, yeah. Robert Gard is someone who believed in arts in rural spaces, and that's who that theater's named after. So I'm very happy to be doing it there. And we'll have a jar at the front for a goodwill offering, but otherwise the tickets are free, so just come on out.
Don't have to go to Eventbrite or any place online?
Just show up and make a donation if you want to, but you really don't have to. Nobody's going to be standing there watching, and that's just to help defray some of the costs, because of course whatever I got from the grant we totally overspent it.
So then what is next there for the play? Where do you take it next? Do you use some feedback maybe to figure out where you're going?
Well, right. That's my question. That's one of the things that I wanted the grant to do. As I mentioned, I've had a couple of performances of a play, but mostly I've had staged reading. So one of my questions is, all right, what does come next? We'll get the feedback. I can certainly revise it again wherever people feel like I need to. And then what happens? So I'm hoping, you know, in that audience, there'll be enough people who can help me figure out, all right, what does come next? And then I can work with Terry and my actors and other theater people to say, okay, when is this ready for an actual performance?
Wonderful. Well, yeah. Good luck. Anything else you want to add, Marnie?
I don't think so. I always appreciate the chance to come on WRCO, and I would love to see a lot of my Richland Center peeps come over to Spring Green for the afternoon and check out what we're up to.
Always good to see you.
Thanks.
Yeah, you bet. Marnie Bullock-Dresser joining us again. Impelled, a new play coming up, premiering on stage in Spring Green Sunday at the Guard Theater between 2 and 4 with a stage reading and a talk back. This is The Morning Show.
Now more than ever, it is important to keep your home safe. Did you know that most people who misuse prescription drugs got them from the medicine cabinet of a friend or family member? National Drug Takeback Day is Saturday, April 26th from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. at the Richland Center Police Department, 470 South Main Street in Richland Center. This is a perfect time to get rid of old and unused medications. You can safely dispose of those medications at one of the four permanent medication drop box locations located at Richland County Sheriff's Department, Richland Center Municipal Building, Center Pharmacy in Richland Center, and the Viola Village Hall. If you do not have access to one of those locations, don't worry. Just put wet coffee grounds or wet kitty litter into a plastic bag. Mix in the medication, seal it up, and throw it into your household trash. It's that simple. This is one crisis we have the power to control. This message is sponsored by the Partners for Prevention Coalition of Richland County.
Discover hidden gems and unbeatable deals at the Family Thrift Shop in downtown Richland Center.